And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. It's coming up to 10:40 here. And I'm happy to say now I'm joined in the studio with Nicola Cassidy from the Irish Lung Fibrosis Association. Good morning to you, Nicola.
Good morning, Debbie.
At last. We have you here. So, Nicola, we were just talking off air there about what we're going to be talking about. And I thought I was pronouncing it right or wrong, actually, but it's idiopathic fibrosis. Is that
that's
the
it,
right
yeah. idiopathic
term we're talking
pulmonary
about?
Fibrosis. It's pulmonary also known as IPF, to make it easier to say.
Okay, so if people out there don't know, which I haven't, I've heard of so many, there is quite a number of lung diseases, as COPD, asthma and all that, but I've never heard of this one. I've heard of cystic fibrosis, which is a completely different thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So cystic fibrosis would have a different mechanism and is diagnosed usually in children, whereas idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis would be a condition that develops in older adults, so it's typically in adults over the age of 50. The idiopathic is a word that means unknown, so we don't know what the cause of this condition is. The pulmonary refers to the lungs, and fibrosis is another word for scarring. So what happens is that naturally, if we inhale dust or toxins or chemicals, it can injure the lung. And in healthy people, the lung can repair itself. But in people with lung fibrosis, the repair process goes out of control. So similar to cutting yourself, if you cut the back of your hand, over a few days you'll get scar tissue forms on that, and then it switches off. But in the lungs, the scar process just keeps going and going. So your lungs become very heavy, thick. This scar process just goes out of control.
So you say it's mainly over 50s. So could you have, I suppose, developed it earlier in your early years, and as the years go by, it progresses, and suddenly when it's diagnosed, it's at the crucial point? Or is there symptoms, mild symptoms, that you might feel in before you, like that age? Is there anyone younger than 50 that's been diagnosed with?
Oh, there are, yes. Now, it's rare, but younger people certainly can be affected. With the idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, though, they would tend to be older. So although you can get it over the age of 50, most people are probably in their 60s or 70s when they're diagnosed. It's thought that at the time of diagnosis, the patient has probably had symptoms for a few months or even a few years. So the lung fibrosis is usually established by the time that they're diagnosed. Unfortunately, a lot of people put off going and seeking medical advice, either from their GP or from a hospital, because they think developing shortness of breath is just a natural progression of their age.
Getting older, yeah. And what are the signs and symptoms, if anyone's listening today and feel they could have something? Now, there's so many different lungs, as we said, asthma and COPD, and even just a cold flu. I mean, you don't want to panic people, but what are the first signs of this IPF?
So most people would complain of having shortness of breath. And
even sitting down, like what would it have to be after exercise?
A lot of times it's going up the stairs. That can be the first signal that something is wrong. And if you're struggling getting up the stairs and you haven't struggled before, that's an indication that you need to attend your GP and you need to have tests. There's no reason you should be suddenly short of breath going up the stairs.
Just the stairs.
Yeah. But certainly with lung fibrosis patients, it's a progressive disease, which means it gets worse with time, because as that scar tissue builds up, it becomes harder to breathe. And in healthy lungs, when you breathe in, the oxygen goes into your bloodstream. But in patients with lung fibrosis, the oxygen can't get into their bloodstream, so they become really short of breath.
Okay.
They can also have a cough, though not everyone gets a cough, but anyone who does, it's a very debilitating cough. That means it affects their quality of life. It impacts on everything they do. Some people could struggle to talk on the phone, hold a normal conversation. And because of the shortness of breath and the cough, a lot of patients will have fatigue. And it's not just tiredness, they're completely wiped out.
They're worn out from coughing and coughing. Yeah. It's horrible. Like, I mean, I have asthma myself, and I remember the years when I was really, really bad. It wears you out when you're struggling to breathe, yeah. And the cough and coughing. But you said this cough is like is it a dry cough or just a cough that doesn't go
so
away?
It's described as a dry, non-productive cough. Okay. So if you have a cold and you're coughing frequently, you'll bring up phlegm. With idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, if you're coughing, you may not be producing anything. And it's a very tricky symptom to try and treat. So there are some medications available, but in a lot of cases, the patient continues to cough.
Okay, so we don't want to frighten people, but if they've had a dry cough, but if it goes away, then it's kind of, you're kind of
saying
it's okay.
If it's prolonged, they really need to seek medical advice.
Okay, and how do they actually diagnose IPF? Is it through blood test or an x-ray or what?
So initially it's probably going to be an x-ray, though not all x-rays will be able to show the definition of the lungs good enough to make a diagnosis.
Oh,
so
maybe.
The standard at the moment is a CT scan, but it has to be a high resolution CT scan. And then the expert radiologist, who's the doctor who reads the scans, will look for specific patterns on that scan, and that will give an indication that it's a lung fibrosis of some sort. So the doctor will then take a very detailed history of the patient that will look at their hobbies, where they worked, any exposures to things like dusts, bird droppings, chemicals. And if they can't find a cause for it, then it's classified as idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, so no known cause.
No known cause, it can just develop.
Yeah.
Is it generally more, I suppose, prevalent in smokers?
2 out of 3 patients would have been smokers, but a significant proportion, 1/3, have never smoked.
Okay, so you have to get this kind of CT scan to diagnose. An ordinary chest scan probably wouldn't show x-ray.
It might, but most cases it's better to have the CT scan, and a proportion of patients will also have to have a lung biopsy, which is an operation where they remove a small piece of tissue from the lungs and it would be looked at under the microscope.
Okay, and a blood test wouldn't detect it, no?
No, now you probably would have a series of blood tests, but they're not specific for lung fibrosis. They would be looking at other markers.
So there's really nothing anyone can do really to prevent it, because there's no really of preventing something like this, is there?
No. Now, we'd always encourage people to live healthy and, you know, exercise, eat well and all that. But because we don't know what the cause is, it's very difficult to have a preventative measure as well, apart from just living well. But we would advise anyone who has respiratory symptoms of any kind to get to their doctor and be checked out. And if they're not getting satisfaction, they need to go back again, and it does need to be chased up.
And sometimes it's hard to do that when you're kind of fobbed off. Sometimes, oh, you're okay, and you feel then you're probably, they're saying I'm okay, but you're not getting any better.
But so you know yourself.
Yeah, if you know yourself, there isn't much of an improvement after taking, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose the medication is the usual, is the steroids and stuff like that.
Steroids may be given to patients, although it's not a treatment. But if they have, for example, a respiratory infection, they may be given steroids to help treat that. With IPF, there is no cure. So there are 2 medications available. One of them is currently available in Ireland, and they will slow down the disease, but they won't prevent it, and they won't cure disease that is already there. But they do slow it down for some patients, not for everyone. But that's a huge development, because that drug has only come available in the last few years. So, you know, even up to 10 years ago, there was no treatment.
And is that available in Ireland, that treatment?
It is. So one of the drugs is available at the moment. The second drug is going through an evaluation process, and hopefully we will get good news about that, because these drugs, they're very high-tech drugs.
Yeah.
They have a lot of side effects.
So
it's good that if one drug isn't working for the patient, they can be switched to the second drug.
Else. Now, we probably say, well, what about America? You know, the way they're years ahead of us in medicine. Is there any cures over there? Have they come up with anything yet?
Well, there's a lot of research going on, so that's really positive. But the results at the moment are a few years away from being developed into the final drug, but that process is going on. And there's five or six drugs that are well advanced in the research process, so that's very encouraging for us as well. One of the other treatments is lung transplantation.
Okay.
And they said that's the only effective treatment. Obviously, it's a massive operation and not everyone is suitable. But in Ireland, we've a really good lung transplant program that's based at the Mater Hospital.
And has anyone had the lung transplant for and it has been
so
successful?
So about 40% of lung transplants in Ireland are in patients with IPF. Okay. And they're all doing really well. And, you know, it's fantastic that the staff in the Mater are really improving things for our patients.
Yeah. Great. And if you've been diagnosed and, as you said, you've got quite breathless with the IPF, should it be that you should continue doing the exercise, trying to kind of keep yourself fit, or would it be too hard for someone to exercise when they're feeling that breathless?
It can be hard, but the best thing you can do is to stay as fit and as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
And even though it's a vicious cycle that you're afraid of being breathless, so you decide, I'm not going to do exercise, unfortunately, that's the wrong attitude to take. Everybody gets breathless when they're exercising, and we say to everyone, even the Olympian athletes, if you see them when they finish the 100 metres, they're all gasping for breath. But you need to keep going. Now, you pace yourself, you do your exercises slower, but there's still a need to engage in exercise. It's the best thing you can do.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if it's a struggle, just continue and try and do what you can. And for diet, I suppose, try eat healthy as well.
That's it, yeah. A lot of people ask whether they should avoid dairy products, you know, so milk, will that help? Make things worse. There's no real evidence. The most important thing is a healthy diet.
As I looked up a little bit about it this morning, I said I didn't really know much about it, and some of the symptoms, and what kind of struck me is in people who suffer with GERD, like acid reflux.
That's right, yes.
Because I never realised particles or something can go into your lungs, and that can...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's unusual as well.
Yeah, so anybody with heartburn as well as respiratory problems, that needs to be looked at, and, you know, don't dismiss it. Tell your doctor if you have these symptoms, because you may not think they're that important, a bit of heartburn, but it actually can impact on your lung condition.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
So you learn something new. I mean, you could be going on for years with these symptoms and putting this to the back of your mind, saying, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, and go to the doctor and you've hopped off. And so do insist, as you said.
Yeah.
And so if you're not feeling better, if you have a cough, if you're breathless, and you said you should not be breathless, it's not a natural...
No.
As we would probably say, well, we're getting old, we're getting breathless, but you shouldn't feel breathless just going up the stairs.
No.
Get it checked out. Tell us a little bit about the association. How did it come about?
Okay, so the Irish Lung Fibrosis Association, also known as ILFA, was set up in 2002 by a small number of people. And it was set up in memory of Fergus Goodbody, who was a patient who had IPF. So we've done really well. We're 14 years on the go now. We're run by a small group of volunteers. And we really need to keep raising awareness, because most people have never heard of lung fibrosis or IPF. So we still have an awful lot of work to do, but at the moment we're providing information to patients. So we've newsletters, we have leaflets, we have support groups around the country where patients meet. And it's really important for patients to meet other people with the condition,
exactly,
because it's a very isolating condition, and because most people have never heard of it, they've never met anyone else with the condition. We have a range of exercise resources.
So you have a lot of information when to people who've just been newly diagnosed.
Excellent.
I have to move on quickly, and I'm just going to talk a little bit to Dermot, who, it is Dermot King, yeah?
It is, yes.
How
yes.
are you?
Good, thank you.
And thanks for coming just a little bit. Thanks for joining us today. You're so good to come in. I know we're coming to nearly the end of the show. We have 5 minutes left. Dermot, would you like to tell us a little bit about your own story?
Yeah, okay. I'm 74. In 2012, I noticed that I was getting out of breath walking and going upstairs. So I went down to the local GP, and he organised some walking tests in Beaumont. And that was going on for a few months, maybe a month or so. And it was after some tests and that, I was discovered I was diagnosed in 2013, early. I had pulmonary fibrosis. And that's how it all started.
And did you suffer with any chest problems?
No, absolutely not.
In your life at all? No.
Absolutely not.
And do you think it's anything to do with the work you did throughout your life or anything?
I wouldn't think so, because they don't know the causes of.
Yeah.
They don't know. But if and good morning to your listeners, if any of your listeners have pulmonary fibrosis and are not involved, get involved with the ILFA and get involved with exercise. Yeah. It is fantastic. It has done me numerous. I can walk upstairs now.
Really?
Without assistance. And I use that as part of exercise. I exercise twice a week and an hour each time. And all about upper and lower body. And it's fantastic. The benefits for me is fantastic. You eat better and you sleep better.
So the exercise is one of the most important things, Dermot.
It's as nearly as good as the tablets you take.
And you said better. You noticed been breathless, as Nicola, you said, going up the stairs as well. Was it really a really bad breathlessness, or was it just a bit out of breath for a second or
No, it was getting worse as time...
As time went by.
It went by.
Yeah.
And then when I was diagnosed, obviously I was put onto oxygen. And that helped me get out and about, even a new machine that I have now. You can spend your time out and about rather than being tied to the house.
Great.
You know, it's fantastic.
And what type of impact did it have in your life when you were diagnosed?
Oh, well, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
A bit of a shock, because I'd never had anything like that before.
Were you a smoker?
I was, yeah, but not a heavy one.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, one or too many.
Hmm.
That's what they say, and I believe that.
Yeah, you'd love to say to young people, wouldn't you, out there, that starting just you know, one is too many. But you weren't, as I said, you didn't suffer with your chest or anything like that. You don't think it was anything to, you said, it was just something that might just come on you because they don't know yet. So when you were diagnosed, I suppose it was a bit of a shock.
Absolutely. It was like being hit for a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting anything like that at all. But I have the problem, I have the pulmonary fibrosis, and get on with it.
You're getting on with your life.
Getting on with your life. I'm having a good social life.
Great.
Good social life. Out and about, going on a train, a bus, or whatever. I even go on a plane, but I haven't done that yet.
And what about can you bring the oxygen with you everywhere you go? Can you bring it on a plane as well?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
But advice is you notify the airline well in advance, and you get a letter from your consultant to produce it at the security checkpoint.
So you are living your life as normally as possible.
As best I can.
And you're getting out and about, you're going away.
And
you were diagnosed in 2013. Now, there's no known cure, but it's keeping it at a kind of like yourself, keeping you healthy. And did you change your diet as well?
Not really. The dairy products, I'm not into dairy products or something.
No,
I would have cheese, but on a rare occasion. I wouldn't drink milk by the glass full. You know, it's just, not like that. Nothing like that.
So you just send the exercise.
Exercise is fantastic.
Dermot, I'd love to have more time. It's just we're finished at 11 o'clock, and I'd love to hear more about your story let people who've, I suppose, been recently diagnosed, because as you said, it hit you like a sledgehammer, it's probably quite frightening to be diagnosed with something like this. So maybe another time you might come in and tell us how you're doing as well, and how you get on with everyday life.
I'd love to do that.
Great. And Nicola, can you just give out details to people if they need to get in touch, or a support group they can get in touch with?
Sure. So if they go to our website, which is www.ilfa.ie, they will find all the information about our support groups. And we also have a telephone number, which I might give out, which is 086 871 5264. But you'll find everything on our website, and if your listeners can't access the internet, ask a family member to help them out.
Exactly.
Help is available. Thank you.
Thanks a million, both of you, for coming in.
You're
maybe
welcome.
Another time after Christmas we could do a more in-depth interview and have more time and see how you're doing. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was Lifeline for today. I'm going to have to finish up now. A big thank you once again to Nicola, who's from the Irish Lung Fibrosis Association, and to Dermot King, who was diagnosed.